You're listening to Can I Get a Witness by Ignite Ministry Global. Please note that the views expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and guests, and do not represent the views of WAPN and WAPB. The content provided is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Listeners are encouraged to seek appropriate guidance for any specific concerns. WAPN and WAPB and its hosts are not liable for any actions taken based on the information provided on this show. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Can I Get a Witness? I'm Christina. This is my husband, Jesse Amos. We are with Ignite Ministry Global, and we're so happy to be back in the house tonight.
We're excited. WAPN.
Yeah.
Live.
I love WAPN.
Me too.
Shelly is absolutely amazing.
She is.
For those of you who have not seen or heard us, we talk about some pretty hot topics. Things that keep you on the edge of your seat, I guess you would say. Ironing, sharpening iron.
Yes. And I think in a loving, God-centered way. But the truth is sometimes we don't talk about PC items because they're too controversial for maybe a normal conversation. But on the radio, we could say anything and nobody can tell us to stop.
That's right. But we hope you guys will go on all the social medias and like, comment, and subscribe, and share. And please, please, please comment and message us. Let us know what you're thinking, what you like, what you don't like. Ask us questions, things maybe you want us to talk about.
A topic, come on.
Yes, yes, because we want to have a conversation with you guys. We don't want to just sit here and talk. I mean, Jesse and I, we talk all the time, but we want to have a real conversation with you guys. So,
I think
join
we talk
it.
Better when we're on the radio to each other, though.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we're nicer.
We? Well, God is working on both of us. That is for sure in a marriage if you've been in one for a while. And I know the guy we have on tonight has been happily married for quite some years. So we're excited to get his wisdom in our life, too, in that area.
Yes. Wisdom, anointing, all of it. I'll just take every single bit of it. He is super, super awesome. We've had some really cool guests come on tonight. We have Pastor Rory Carey from Daytona Christian Center. Welcome, Pastor Rory.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
We're so glad that you're with us tonight talking about this subject that Jesse's been kind of like talking to me about a little bit, but I don't really fully grasp. So I'm excited about getting an education on this topic tonight because I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know if he knows what to think about that when you promote it like that. But tonight we are talking about the seven mountains of influence, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited too.
Yes.
So welcome, Pastor Rory.
Good to be here. Good to be here to talk about this subject. It's a subject dear to me because this subject has to do with our culture. It has Amen. To do with our nation. It has to do with our families. You've got these seven areas of influence, you know, in any culture, and whoever is in control of those areas of influence are the ones that pretty much direct the culture.
Yeah.
And we've got to be on the cutting edge. We've got to be on the forefront
of these seven areas.
Of these seven areas, Amen. And ensuring we are in control of the influence. It, you know, when you look at America, it once, you know.
We were the influence.
We were the influence.
At one point,
we being the church.
Of course, we being the church. As Jesus says, on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against Amen. It. It doesn't mean they won't fight against it, but, you know, they will not prevail.
Anybody Amen. Who's been in a relationship with the Lord for 5 minutes knows the devil hates you.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, of course. And he's going to do everything he can to stop us, including probably try to get in the midst of whatever's happening in the sound waves and live. So I'm praying, Lord willing, that we will not have any issues tonight. And yeah. I think maybe we should pray first.
Yes.
Purposely for this subject, for all of you guys that are listening. We want to pray for you guys too. And if you ever have any prayer requests, please message those to us as well, because we would like to do that live. So Pastor Rory, will you lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Sure, of course. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this opportunity that we have here in this country, that we are free to go live. We're free to meet together. We're free to come together and discuss and talk and freely talk about the things that concern us. And so, Father, we just pray right now that as we, oh God, talk about this topic of the seven areas, seven mountains, they're called, of influence in our culture, God, we are praying, God, that that your people, oh God, will do as you have said. When Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven has now come, and the people of God, they take it by force. They take it by force. The righteous, they take it by force. And Father, we intend to go forth in your name by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, able to save our souls. God, to change this country, because you're the God of nations. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, God. And so, Father, we pray right now, oh God, that as your will in heaven is done, so your will on the earth is done. And that you, oh God, hallelujah, you will be the one, oh God, as you have proclaimed in the word, that the day will come if we as your people will continue to pray, humble ourselves, and turn from our wicked ways, God, that we will be able to hear those words, that the earth, these kingdoms, these seven kingdoms are now the kingdoms of our Lord, of our God and his Christ. And so, Father, we praise you for that. Bless the hearers tonight, God. Give them understanding. Bless them. Cover them, God. Let the words of the scriptures, the word, your word, God, let it enter into their hearts and minds, and let it change lives for your glory. And we give you praise for it, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Okay,
so,
you can pray all night.
I know, right?
To the glory.
I know.
I'm going to tell you what.
I pray.
You know, we were saying that last week. We were like, I know. Sometimes the church forgets. We just got to bask in his glory.
Mm. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
God, come and do your will, Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That is what it's about.
That is what it's about. So, Pastor Rory, tell me, what are the seven mountains of influence and where did they come from?
Where did they come from? Okay, well, these seven areas of influence, not sure I can say where they come from, except that they came from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the areas of influence are of our family, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, business, and of course, government. These are the areas that encompass the influence in culture.
And you said government, and you looked up, man, you were like, government. I had the pleasure of getting to be with you in some really cool, ministry opportunities. And one of which I think is National Day of Prayer. So I think that is a governmental opportunity for us to push back the enemy. Just tell them about what's going on here in Volusia County. Tell them a little bit about how that, because I'm so excited because we know you personally. Mm-hmm. They don't know you, but tell them what we're doing in Volusia County as the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, National Day of Prayer, and we have National Day of Prayer Volusia, which is under the umbrella of the National Day of Prayer. And we endeavor with many of the anointed, wise men and women of God in this county who come together yearly to pray.
Amen.
And we just believe that that is kind of the, one of the foundations of everything is prayer. So we endeavor to encounter all of these seven areas of influence through prayer.
Amen.
Because, we all know 2 Chronicles 7:14 that's quoted so often that we know it by heart, where, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, not the world.
Yeah. Right.
But if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, if we got a problem in the land, because when you go to that verse right before it, in the 13th verse, he says, if I shut up heaven and send pestilence, and if all of these negative things start happening,
we forget about those verses.
Right. He says, but if my people
will
pray, then if there's a problem with the land in the area of the family, God says, I'll heal it. If there's a problem in the land, in the area of education, if my people will pray, I'll heal the land. Yeah. If there's a problem in the land with the government, God says, if my people will pray, I'll heal the land. And so that's what we are endeavoring to do. And many churches are coming together on the National Day of Prayer, which is in May, the first Thursday in May.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, I think this year we had around 60 to 70 churches or more come together to...
We don't even know, because there are people who show up that don't register or not there for any kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there are wise men and women. There are women that are anointed of God, and they're coming together. The Lord is bringing unity, because he says it's at the point of unity. Psalms 133, that's where I command a blessing.
Yeah,
and we want to see the blessing of the Lord in Volusia County, in the state of Florida, and in America. Amen. And that's why we're praying.
You know, you said unity, and I'm really actually kind of excited. There's some church merging happening right now, and God is moving in ways that really doesn't happen often. It's usually, you know, we hear about splits and new churches being planted, but churches growing together.
It's opposite is happening. God is bringing oneness into the body of Christ. That's what Jesus prayed when he left. He says, Father, I pray that they may be one. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing.
Yeah, it's so beautiful to see it and be a part of it. And man, it's been really, really awesome. It's been an awesome ride right here in Volusia County. I feel like it's been like a little catalyst right here in Volusia County. It's the spark, I think. And I know it's happening all over the United States too. And maybe I'm just a little biased because it's where I live.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see that spark happening. But I see also in these areas, like I'm like, Jesse, okay, well, what are these mountains like? And I've heard you talk about them before. And I'm like, what are these mountains? And I'm looking at them. I was writing them down earlier. I was like, I can see the enemy full force trying to take control of each one of them.
Yes.
From breaking up our family to trying to change what a family looks like.
Of course.
Religion. I was saying actually, you know, before we started, that there was a church that's actually trying to bring the gender, you know, identity confusion type of thing into the church, and trying to take scripture and switch it and mold it and twist it in a way that makes it accepting. And that's right in the church. It's happening in the church. The enemy is infiltrating itself. And that's why
our
education systems with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, man, I can just really see where the enemy is coming and trying to take foothold. But what we forget so much, and I say it all the time, Jesse's probably getting really tired of hearing me say it, but I say it constantly, you know, the enemy has no authority over us whatsoever unless we give it to him.
That's it. Yes.
We are the ones with the authority, but we give it away.
Yeah, and that's been the problem. We cede authority to him. He doesn't have. Jesus says that I give you authority, and I give you authority, but I give you authority over all of the power of the enemy. So we have power. We have authority over him.
Yeah.
And that old saying that says that the only thing that's necessary for evil, and we know the devil is evil, the only thing necessary for it to prevail is for good men, saved men and women, those that are anointed, to do nothing. And when we do, you know, and when we do nothing, that's when we cede power to him. And so we can't cede power to him. We cannot be silent. We cannot sit still. We've got to get up and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And we need to declare that in every area of influence.
Yeah, and we see that happen, though. I mean, it's now, it's been years, you know, that so many people who do love Jesus, they so much don't want to, like, offend and rock the boat, and we got to keep the peace. We just, you know, because God is love, and we just got to love them through it, you know? But then, in the same breath, turn around and say, man, our world is so wicked, and man, I can't, you know, this is happening, when we shouldn't be surprised that these things are happening.
Yes.
Because we've sat down for the sake of peace and not offending, and we've just given up everything over to him.
And you know, we as you were just saying, we harp on that. We want to be loved. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to offend. We don't want to rock the boat. But I take notice at one point where Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
I came to bring a sword. And so what is he saying? Is there are times when, you know, saying I love you is, you know, to the enemy, it doesn't work.
Right.
You've got to fight. That's the reason he says, I come to bring a sword. And what is a sword? He says that the word of God is the sword. Our sword is the word of God.
Yeah.
And we have to fight with it. So there, I know there are many Christians who love to, you know, talk about love, and God is love. And yes, we have to show love.
Yeah.
God is not only a God of love, he's also a God of righteousness.
That's right.
He's a God of judgment.
Yes, he is.
And we can't leave that out. Mm-hmm. And he loves righteousness, but he hates evil.
Right.
And when evil is permeating and trying to take over these areas of influence, the influence of the family, you know, I've got children and I've got grandchildren that I love very much.
Right.
And I can't sit by when the enemy is trying to come after our kids. We've got these organizations and we've got these movements and we've got these things happening out in society that are coming after our children in
full force right now.
Full force, and they don't mind telling you, yes, we're coming for your children.
Yeah,
and they literally say it on some video. I wish I had that video right now to play.
But see, as a father and as a grandfather, no, I'm going to fight.
Come on.
And I'm going to fight with the things that God gave me to fight with. He says our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal.
Come on.
They're mighty.
That's right.
Through God to pulling down of strongholds. And these things that are coming after the influence to take our children from us. No, we've got to stand up and say no.
When I asked you, you said, man, education has got to be one of the ones that we touch tonight. Because it's about our children.
It
really
is. It's,
and the enemy knows if he can get it to our children, he's going to get it from generation to generation.
Right.
And we've got to, you know, but you said one thing. Our weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And we are not necessarily to go out and fight with our hands and with guns.
Yes.
But if we don't do something.
Well, we've got to do what a lot of men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God across this nation who are not fearful.
Right.
But we'll go to the teachers' board meetings. Yeah.
Some of those videos online, have you ever seen any of those?
Oh, I watch them all the time. I love.
I'm gonna do better. I'm gonna get some content for
some
repentance podcasts.
Happening right here in the room.
I'm gonna do better because I want to get some content on these podcasts. Like that would have been a great video to play right now and talk about.
Yeah.
Yes, because there are some amazing people who are doing that.
Yeah, and these moms, these dads, these grandparents, they're standing up for their children.
Come on.
This is area because the enemy wants our children. He wants to influence them. But we've got to say, no, this area belongs to God and we're going to fight for it. And again, you know, the Christians who love to hear love, love, love don't like to think about this as warfare, you know,
right.
But it is warfare. Jesus told us in the areas of influence, he says, occupy till I come. That word occupy is a military. It's a military term, which means we fight and we fight with our weapons of warfare that he gave us. And it's mighty. When we go in in the...
Hold up. That deserves a...
Yes.
Oh, man. Good word there. Keep going. Sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
But yeah, through the weapons that he's given us, he mm-hmm. tells us to put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
You know, and we know what those are in Ephesians 5th chapter. Those, you know, being clothed from head to feet.
To toe.
Yeah, you know, to right. toe. Yes, we are clothed, and that's we fight. And so, yeah, we got to get up.
But isn't that the greatest act of love, though, to lay down your life, right? So when you're fighting in a battle, you are laying down your life.
For what you love.
For what you love. Amen. And that is the greatest act
exactly.
right there.
You know, it's when I come against my enemy to keep him from destroying my child, my home or whatever, it's not because I don't love my enemy. It's because I love my child.
That's right. Amen. That's right. There's a young actress. I wish I could remember her name. I really don't. She was a Disney actress and she got radically saved and she's been doing videos on social media on like Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she told a story about a friend, you know, and she said, you know, what if, you know, she had a friend that says, why are you always harping at me? You know, why are Christians always harping about this and that and how you got to know Jesus or, you know, about like these things, how we need to get involved. Yes. We can't just sit down and sit back on our high knees and do nothing. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And she said, I told her a story and I said, you know, what if I went out in my backyard, took my dog out in the backyard mm-hmm. to, you know, do his business, and I saw a big old snake out there, and I said, oh, I got to get back inside, and I pick up my dog, and I bring it back inside, and then you say, hey, I want to go out and get some fresh air, and I say, okay, and then you go out in the backyard, and you get bit by that snake. Mm-hmm. Now, the first thing you're going to ask me when you come in is, why didn't you tell me about exactly. that snake in the backyard?
Yeah.
You know, well, for the sake of, I thought maybe you just might need to figure it out on your own, or I didn't want to upset you or scare you or bring any fear. Yeah. So I just let it go. Now, you would be mad at me, wouldn't you?
Good analogy.
You
yes.
would be mad at me in yeah. that. And it was like such a good representation of like, why do we as Christians share the gospel? Why are these areas so important that we need to be talking about them? Why? Because we love you.
Yes.
Because God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for
Come on.
You.
That's right.
Right? And if yeah. we don't say anything, you're going to get bit by the snake.
That's right. And we know who the snake is.
We know
that serpent.
That's right. He's around the corner.
So it's the kingdom principles that are going to push back the enemy's ploy, right? We can do nothing in and of ourselves without exactly. the Spirit of God.
Right.
And people don't understand that in the world. But if we don't speak it out, he said, by his word, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like a lot of times Christians are going and they're getting, you know, demeaned on Facebook and on these platforms because they're speaking the word of God. And they're like, well, that's crazy. Some God you don't know and blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the thing, guys. That's our weapon of warfare.
Yes.
So, guys, if we don't use the word against the attack of the enemy says abortion's okay. The word of God does not say
exactly.
that's okay.
Yes.
God hates the killing of the innocent. Mm-hmm. There's no way that is. God said that homosexuality is wrong.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Guys, I'm not afraid to say what God said.
Yeah.
But I do love yeah. those who are caught in sin.
Yeah.
I do love them. Why? Because I was once those who had done all the bad that they had done and maybe more. Who knows? But I know that the love of God leads me to a new life
yes.
that is better than the little bit of sin you think is pleasurable for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And even when your heart and your mind is deceived to thinking that you are these things, and that's what they're teaching our kids right now.
Well, he's the author of confusion.
It's hands
that's
down
literally
awful.
His ploy right there. We're seeing him do that by confusing our
children. The church shouldn't be confused.
The church shouldn't be confused.
No, they shouldn't be confused by the attack of the enemy because we knew that was coming, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So what can we do? So we're getting into I'm excited. I'm ramped up. So, you know, Pastor Roy, what is a way that, like, I know you pastor a church, you've been pastoring for how many years?
18 years.
18 years at that church, but you've been pastoring a lot longer than that.
Well, I was associate pastor.
But yeah, that still counts as a pastor. Yeah. You've been pastoring for a while.
So were you a youth pastor too?
Yes, and a youth pastor too.
Yeah, and so that counts too. Yeah. So how long did you start ago?
So if you
don't
put all of it,
yourself
you put all of it. Yeah, I'll age myself. It's all right. But you put it all together, it's somewhere close to 30 years.
30 years, right. So in 30 years, I'm sure you have some insight on how we can push back the enemy. And in a local church setting, if I'm somebody who's sitting in church today, what would you tell them? What would you tell them to do in this situation?
To influence these areas.
In all these areas.
Yeah.
And maybe just one or two,
well,
specifically.
My take on it is that at our church, the Lord gave me years ago, and I think that the foundation of a Christian's life, and not only that, but the foundation of our ministry, is the Word of God, prayer, and worship. Mm-hmm. And I believe that with that foundation, we can push back all of the enemies, because you start with the Word of God, and the Word, Jesus says, the Scripture says that Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, mm-hmm. right? The Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus says, "I am the first and the last."
Amen.
So the Word of God is the first thing, and then it is also the last thing. And then when it comes to prayer, he says, "My house shall be called not the house of preaching, not the house of worship, but it's, even though it is a house of worship and it is a house of preaching."
Yeah.
But he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer."
Yeah.
Prayer is so important. Jesus said, "A man should always pray and not faint." If we don't pray, we will faint. We have that. Example. Amen. In the garden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The disciples didn't pray. What did they do? Faint. Peter didn't pray. What did he do?
You can't even pray for an hour?
Come on.
Yeah, he didn't pray. He turned on Jesus. But those things, and when we worship God, when we worship him, and I was explaining to our church that worship is not what we think of as just when we are singing.
Right.
Yeah. Song. Worship itself is actually an expression of our love for God.
Mm-hmm.
And singing is just one of those expressions.
Yeah.
Right.
But the full expression of worship is a life and a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So when our life, when we express our love for God in our lifestyle and how we live, what we do, what we say, that's true worship, because then you are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And so when we become, not just act and learn the things to do, no, but when we become what God wants us to be, we're going to win in these areas.
Amen.
Because we're going to know what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Why? Because we're going to be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God.
Amen.
So when we get, when we become what we are supposed to be, then yes, I believe that these are the ones that are on the forefront, on the front lines,
mm-hmm.
who are fighting for righteousness, who are fighting for truth. And I love what you were saying about the Word of God and using the Word of God, because I hear some Christians try to say, when you're conversing with the world, you got to try to win them without using the Bible. And my thought is that, wait a minute, I'm a soldier in the army. You cannot ask a soldier in the U.S. Army and send him over to Iraq without his gun.
Yeah,
right.
he has no weapons.
Come on,
hello. I mean, what sense does that make? Yeah. And to me, it's like, how are you going to go and engage this culture, and you don't have your weapons? So what? He says, no. You have to have on the whole armor of God,
right.
Which is, and one of those is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you got to use the Bible. You got to use the Word.
Well, a lot of people don't know the word, and that half is the problem today is that we're not really diving deep. You know, the first thing that God did was start to really just pour out his spirit on me when I got saved with the word. I got into a lot of Bible studies. I was going to Bible studies like five times a week. You know, I was always wanting to be in the word, and that puffs you up. End up puffing you up and thinking you know everything. But then God brought me through a long season. I still feel like I'm in that season where he's tearing down everything I learned to reteach it to me so that not only do I take everything I've learned and apply it, because that's the point, is not just to learn, but to apply to our life what God has told us to do. And so, like, that's what I hear you saying, like, yeah, we need to pray, we need to spend time with the Lord, we need to hear his word, and we need to know what to do. And then he said, we, the leaders of God, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Yeah. And what is our ministry? To affect the seven mountains of life.
Of influence.
The seven mountains of influence are the most important thing to society, so it should be the most important things to the church.
That's right.
And my problem with the church in a general sense is we've become a organized business that does this, this, and this, and it functions well. We forgot about the people's peripherals. Like, yes, that's a core. That's where it starts. Yeah, we got to gather people. Yeah, we got to have this mission together to win the lost. Mm. But then once they're won, we have to have an actual mission to continue to do something more than that, like, you know, to affect our society, to bless. You know, the church was supposed to be the greatest altruistic organization in mankind has ever seen. The problem is like in America, the church was the one running our government, right? And in the beginning, the church was running the government, and so therefore the government became what the people became dependent on instead of the church, because the church influenced the government to do those things for the people first, to be altruistic. Now we have this reliance on the government rather than on the people in the community, which should have had the power. And there's actually some great organizations that are pushing against those things. And even our governor, Ron DeSantis, created a faith-based initiative that helps churches become the helper in the communities, rather than everybody looking for a handout. Now the people connect with people, and that was what was supposed to really influence the culture, is that people, I don't know about you, but I've been to some government organizations that give the help. It doesn't feel very loving. It doesn't feel like you went to a church. It doesn't feel like a warm hug, like you just benefited my life. But when you go into the food pantry at your local church and you feel the genuineness of the people there who are trying to love you, who are trying to promote a message that changes your heart and not just give you some food.
Right? Yeah, that's the difference between the handout and the goodness of God. So you've got this, I'm going to give this to you, and this is going to suffice you for a moment.
Yeah.
This is just going to be a moment.
Yeah.
But the church is going to show you the goodness of God, which leads them into repentance.
Yes.
And that is going to give you what? The bread of life.
Yes.
And you're not going to thirst and hunger anymore. So you're going to get something there from the church that you're not going to get from the government. And I'm glad you mentioned the government. Yeah. I know you're going to take this from me in a second.
No, I was just going to say today, WAPN partnered with a bunch of churches. We're on WAPN, and they did do the giving out of food. And the first thing we see is a video of them, you know, praying for the people, and their heart is to do. And so the church was active today. And I think it was funny that I mentioned it and I didn't realize literally they gave out hundreds upon probably thousands of pounds of food today.
Which is, you know, I see that all over. The people of God are doing that.
Yeah.
And the government, and that's one of the things that we are trying to do. And I'm just so excited to see the church in the organizations, the extra organizations, para organizations that out there that are actually doing these things, that are
they're loving the people
that are right, that are doing what Jesus did. And what the scripture said, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. And that's
a good
when
one.
We are when we are like Christ, when we are going about and we're doing good and we're healing, you know, we bring healing to people, to we bring healing to it, to help them have peace of mind. Mm-hmm. We bring healing to them to help them have hope.
Mm. Mm-hmm. See, the healing's more than just a physical.
Of course. Because if you don't have healing of your mind and spirit, there will be no healing physical, because it's a scientific fact that a person can be healthy, but if they give up the will to live, the physical is just going to.
Right.
It's just going to
fade away. That's why you can die from a broken heart.
Exactly.
I believe my grandmother actually died from a broken heart. But she just didn't know how to.
But we've got to bring hope, because hope makes alive.
Yeah.
You know, God, the scripture says that God is the God of hope.
Yeah. Amen.
Now about is these three: love, faith, and hope.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So when I look at these seven mountains, you mentioned them earlier: family, religion, education, media, entertainment and arts, business, and government. To me, I feel like the fastest way to influence every one of them is through government. This is my personal opinion.
That's what you were getting to.
I was getting to it. I feel like because the government does have so much influence on making policies and our educational system and how things are taught and all of that, that if we would get more involved in this mountain.
Well, we
and
do
not
have,
let this one go.
Yeah,
you know, we'll start fighting back with the word of God in this area of government. We can more quickly influence the others. That's just my opinion.
We have a bigger say, I think, and a bigger piece of the pie when we control the way we govern. And if you look at our Constitution, I've been doing a TPUSA class, and we're gonna have Chip Moore on actually in a couple weeks. I tell you what, when you think about the percentages of quotes, I think the highest percentage of another person's quote was like 9% or something like that. And you don't quote me on this, you have to go through the biblical citizenship class yourself, so you cannot remember what the exact amounts are. But I do remember the amount of Bible references, okay? Mm-hmm. Of any other quote other than the Bible, it was the highest was 10% by one person. The Bible was quoted 34%. 34% of the quotes were from the Bible. So if our forefathers thought it was important to bring the quotes from the Bible into their daily life and their way they governed their society, by 34%, that is an overwhelming majority of percentage, like 10%, 6%, 3%, I think were the next ones in line. I mean, that is a very small amount compared to 34%. I think that we have a great country because of their realization that we can't govern without God having rule, and God has to reign, and we have to give people the right to choose. That was part of their thing, but we also have to defend the other person's life and liberty and their pursuit of such. And that's what changes the difference between America and most other countries in the world are, is that we are defending your God-given rights to do what God wants you to do.
Exactly. And that actually is the purpose of government.
Yeah.
Government is actually established to protect those God-given rights.
Amen.
These rights did not come from the government, did not come from man. They came from God.
Yeah.
And government is established to protect those. And and you're seeing, and you know, from the class, how that the Bible is the
I think you're taking that class too. I think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to learn everything that I can. And I like this class because it's actually teaching from original documents from the beginning.
You it's know,
not
deep.
These not these revised versions of history and a revised version that distorts true history. I like to go back to from the founding documents, the original books that were written by these men who wrote the Constitution.
I looked up one of those books. It was like $750. I was watching. I was like, oh, that's a cool book. I need to get that book. And I Googled it. The original one he had was like.
But to learn that, to see that the Bible is the greatest influence on our Constitution and on our nation. And with that, for the first 100 years, first 150 years of this nation, especially when it comes to the government, politics was preached from the pulpit.
Come on.
Actual sermons which were preached before before the Constitution.
I remember that.
Those sermons were written and placed in books, and they were used in the writing of the Constitution.
Yep.
Sermons.
Yep.
These principles was preached from the pulpit. Religion was quoted from the White House
to
the State House. Religion was taught and practiced in the schoolhouse. It was respected in the theater, and it influenced the arts and the entertainment.
Come on.
Religion was the thread that permeated all seven kingdoms of influence in America.
Yeah.
And it showed up in everything. World. And this guy Tocqueville, the philosopher from France that came and visited us at the beginning of our nation. And he traveled all through the country for about 2 years. And afterwards, he wrote and he said that, wow, he says that everywhere I go, I see the influence of America, not from its military and its power, but it was from its pulpits.
Mm.
Wow. Religion was displayed and shown in every area of our culture. This man went through for 2 years from France, and when he finished, one of the things he said was, he says, man, the reason I see that America is so great is because America is good.
Yeah.
Amen.
When America ceased to being good,
so good,
it will cease being great. And what makes America good? It's its religion.
Yeah.
And so this is the reason the enemy fights religion so and wants to take religion out of everything. He wants to take religion out of the government. He wanted to take religion out of the schools. We had the prayer removed out of the schools back in the early 60s. And so, we had all of these things. So the enemy knows if I can take God out of everything, then I win.
Right.
I take it out of education. I take it out of government, where we have this thing where there's separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing. That's a lie from hell. Now he's trying to take God out of our families by going after our children.
Mm.
No, we're going to stand. We're going to fight. We're going to say no. No.
And so what would be, in 30 seconds or less, because we got 1 minute left, what would be your to all those Christians out there listening, what should they do? Like, get involved. How can they get involved?
Call to action.
Yeah. The first thing to do is to learn. We're taking these classes. We're
biblical
studying. We're going back. The reason is this. God says this. He says, my people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if you don't know, you can't go. If you don't know, you'll be destroyed. So that is the first thing. Get in the Word of God. Get into classes. Learn and understand what is the true history. What is our true, what is our true history of our nation? What is the true history of, of all of these things that we're concerned about these areas. So that to me would be the first thing.
Well, Pastor Rory, I thank you so much for coming and being a part of this and talking to us about all of this.
We didn't get to play the video from National Day of Prayer, but it's okay. We should, if you want to get Pastor Rory back on, let us know in the comments.
That's right, because we'll bring him back on, and I'm sure you would love to come. We love you guys so much. Again, this was Pastor Rory Carey with Daytona Christian Center. We're so happy to have him here. We've been talking about the seven mountains of influence. If you want to know more, you can always reach out to us. Make sure going to igniteministryglobal.com and see all the podcasts and all social media networks. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. We love you guys so much. Thank you for being part of the conversation tonight, and we will see you next week.
Amen. Who is that guy?
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye? I can't even see. I couldn't tell from here.
Okay. We had to, because it was like the most, that was like the song. Yeah. Everybody knows that song. Yeah. Man, that 45 minutes.
Yeah, we talked.
Bye, bye.